I'm excited to share my research with you. As you can see, I conducted a qualitative study with city leaders, investigating the factors that influence their city design decisions related to active living. I'm not sure why there were two slides, but I have no relationships to disclose or conflict of interest. The prevalence of physical inactivity, as we all know, and associated poor health outcomes have stimulated attention to the role of the built environment as a support or barrier to active living. It is certainly important to note that there are multiple contributing factors to the problem of physical inactivity. However, the one particular factor that I'm focusing on with my research is the built environment and policies that shape the built environment. Growing evidence supports the effectiveness of policies and environmental interventions that improve population level physical activity and related health outcomes. Considering the connection between city design and the rates of physical activity, I was interested in exploring factors that impacted decisions made by city leaders, both elected officials and city staff. These are the people who make decisions and ultimately determine the city's physical environment. Either directly or indirectly, they influence city design through zoning policies, land use, taxation, resource allocation. They have the potential to create policies and environments that promote population physical activity. However, there has been minimal examination of their perspectives of these issues. So looking at current literature, there's very little qualitative research targeting city leaders and the factors that influence their decisions. Therefore, the purpose of my study was to identify factors that either facilitate or hinder city design decisions that support active living. My research took place in one large metropolitan city in the United States. Potential participants were purposely sampled according to the following criteria. They were an elected government official or a full-time employee of the city with a professional role in city design. Participants were identified from the city's website by four local subject matter experts and by using snowball sampling technique at the end of each of the interviews. I conducted 15 face-to-face in-depth interviews, which included 13 employees, city employees, and you can see those are in white, and then two elected officials, the mayor and a city council member. One-on-one, in-person, face-to-face interviews were determined to be the most appropriate to gather in-depth information. Interview questions were developed from review of the literature and developed also with the help of four local subject matter experts. I revised my question path based upon their input and then retested my interview question path with a mayor of an adjoining city, and then again made further modifications based upon that feedback. As for my data collection, following IRB approval, I recruited participants via email and telephone calls. Interviews were conducted between April and July of 2014. Informed consent was provided and a confidentiality statement was given to each participant. My interviews lasted around 30 to 90 minutes. All 15 interviews were conducted by myself and took place most commonly in their workplace office. Interviews were doubly audio recorded and then transcribed verbatim. Before all of the interviews, I defined city design and active living for the participants, and I defined them as things such as policies and infrastructure that increase opportunities for being active, like walking, biking, and playing outside. This includes zoning policies, transit policies, resource allocation, revitalization or the addition of sidewalks, bike lanes, trails, and parks. The interview questions included questions regarding decision-making processes, the barriers that they face, city assets, resources that they need, their funding mechanisms, the city's comprehensive plan, potential solutions, and their future visions of a healthy and active city. For my data analysis, all transcriptions were read entirely, and a codebook was created to ensure accurate and consistent coding. Transcriptions were coded using InVivo, and they were independently coded by two people. Themes were identified as topics discussed by at least five or more of the 15 participants. So now for the fun part. Looking at my results, participants identified numerous barriers to making active living supportive decisions, and you can see the list. The most common were the financial expense of changing the physical environment and poor existing infrastructure due to historical city planning decisions. Throughout the interviews, participants indicated other barriers, including less supportive public attitudes, an inadequate transit system, a large geographical area, dependency on the automobile, and the inefficient funding mechanisms of the city. Despite these barriers, however, the participants did remain optimistic and acknowledged city assets that supported active living efforts, including political will and leadership, the presence of a political champion who would advocate for change, growing citizen support, successful infrastructure projects, and partnerships. Now I'm going to go into more depth into each of these, looking specifically at the barriers that the participants discussed. Several participants remarked on the desire for citywide enhancements, however, economic constraints limited their ability to do so in a large scale, to make large scale changes. And then I'll just give you a moment to read the quotes. Both city staff and elected officials acknowledged that past city planning priorities and decisions created obstacles to their current efforts to and definitely limited the extent of the physical improvements that they could implement. Participants discussed the public's preferences and attitudes as barriers to making decisions that support active living. City staff spoke about the limited resources allocated to the city's transit system and the need for a more robust transportation system. Participants acknowledged the limitations that they experienced when working in one of the largest cities by land area in the United States. City leaders also spoke about the dependence on the individually owned automobile for transportation. They considered this a barrier caused by past prioritization of moving cars efficiently. City staff considered the bond process an impediment due to the long-term nature of this particular funding mechanism. Now for the positives, the assets that they discussed. And I apologize, I'm not sure why the formatting is a little off with this. I have a Mac, so perhaps it's because of that. Participants spoke about the value of political will and the leadership of elected officials. Several participants mentioned the influence of a particular person considered a champion who encouraged greater awareness and would advocate for change. Overwhelmingly, participants talked about the city's momentum and growing public interest and support and a shift towards changes that are more supportive of active living. Participants spoke about the benefit of working together across agencies and sectors in order to get things accomplished. And the city leaders also spoke frequently about the success of past infrastructure projects and how those particular projects have increased opportunities for physical activity in the city. There's certainly some limitations to be considered when interpreting the findings. Participants represent a small sample of city leaders, and the data are specific to one particular metropolitan city in the United States. Despite several attempts to elicit interviews with the city manager and other city council members, I never got a response for them. And it is possible due to the political nature of some of the questions that I asked that there was potential for response bias. Overall, these findings provide insight for public health researchers, practitioners, and policymakers interested in increasing opportunities for city-level physical activity and advancing active living research. City leaders, they play a central role in active living decisions. Therefore, it's important to understand the factors that influence their decisions so we can better collaborate with them. Considering researchers, how many of you are researchers in here? Just curious. Okay, how many practitioners? Okay. For researchers, the study suggests that qualitative methods can enhance our understanding of factors influencing city design decisions at the local level. Future research could potentially explore mechanisms for overcoming these barriers, especially considering many cities worldwide have overcome barriers to making their communities more activity friendly. Replication of the study in other cities could also provide comparisons of the factors identified here. Any policymakers in here? Okay. Considering the implications for practitioners and policymakers, local leaders, especially elected officials, should be encouraged to create health-enhancing environments that increase opportunities for physical activity. Public health practitioners can identify, if they have not already, and support local active living champions. They can encourage greater political leadership, increase public education of the benefits of activity-friendly communities and environments. They can also increase involvement in infrastructure projects that promote physical activity and establish and enhance partnerships. In conclusion, the study adds to the growing literature exploring the connection between local government decisions and the promotion of physical activity. Continuing to explore city leaders' perceptions and their decision-making processes will provide greater understanding of this key group of individuals. Improved understanding will certainly help us and assist in our attempts to influence local leaders to make physical activity a priority and to encourage them to invest in active living design in order to benefit the communities that they serve. Any questions? Any questions? Yes. I'll answer that in two ways. I didn't probe more on those particular questions, so as far as this research, it's fairly just general. They just spoke about general partnerships, both private and public partnerships across all sectors and how that's beneficial. Maximizing resources, if you have a common agenda, common goal. However, for future research, I think that would be a great research topic, is to explore partnerships more so. Like, what are the challenges that they face and ways to overcome those, and what, yes, exactly, to pinpoint which ones are the most beneficial regarding active living decisions. Yeah, it's a good question.
Thank you.
There weren't. I will say, presenting this, I just focused on two themes. For the overarching analysis, there were more themes that emerged, such as like their acknowledgement of co-benefits of making decisions that support active living, economic purposes, environmental purposes. But that one did not. It did not come up in this research with these leaders. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Commented on, you know, this has been 40 or 50 years of policy decisions that got us to this point.
Yes.
So did you get the sense that these folks appreciate it might take 30 or 40 years to reverse, or are they feeling defeated and overwhelmed because they can't do it as quickly as they'd like?
Overall, they were very optimistic. I think they were quite discouraged at past decisions that were made. As you saw, the one they talked about in the 40s and 50s and 60s, we never required sidewalks, you know. So that's it. They did also acknowledge the long-term nature of many of these decisions, but they also acknowledged that, you know, the things that they're deciding right now will have a large impact in the future. So yeah, there definitely was recognition of that. They did, though, and again, perhaps it might have been the political nature of some of the questions that I asked, but they did overall seem fairly optimistic. One of the other themes that emerged was just this growing momentum. Like, the city had the nature of being fairly like laggards in these areas, and they were feeling like they were shifting and going more towards active living focused decisions. Yeah.
Can I just a piggyback question? That quote about, you know, the 40s and 50s and 60s, do you feel
I will say there were a handful of them, so I interviewed 15. I will definitely, I would say my interview with the mayor, very visionary, and then the champion that a lot of them were referring to was very much a visionary. So yeah, I feel like, yes.
So possibly a piggyback question, but when I was trying to get undocumented kids health insurance in Pennsylvania, and I went and I met with some legislators, and one of the largest, the most stark things that I found was that a lot of times they would just straight up say, okay, if you get this group or if you get this other councilman, then I'll be on board. And was there any of that? I mean, sometimes, you know, you read research and books and things about leadership, and if there's a leader that is visionary, that can make a huge difference. But is there a connection between that needing a political ally and that leadership there, or is that...
There was certainly, I definitely saw both sides. I definitely saw the leadership and the champion in my interviews, but then I also saw the resistance of some who had been around. Some of the directors had been around for quite a few years, and their resistance to some of the changes. So I'm not sure if that answers your question, but I definitely did see both sides.